Tonight, we're looking at the issue of perseverance, or how God can shape us through perseverance. And to start with, as we've just heard, Paul loves the church in Corinth and has a great deal of concern for them. The church, though, is now in a bit of a crisis. Having been supported and established by Paul, they are now warmly receiving false teachers. Those who Paul refers to in chapter 12, verse 11, as super apostles, not the sort, not people who suddenly pull out the shirt back and there's a big S, but people who consider themselves higher in the apostle rankings than anyone else, who rather than building up the church, are reopening old wounds amongst its members, and are even claiming that Paul himself isn't a true apostle or even a Christian. So Paul feels compelled to respond to the accusations and the boasts of these false teachers and the church he cares for, as the false teachers suck the church he loves into following those with high office or popularity, celebrating their achievements and merits. And as Paul puts it, those that are boasting in the way that the world does. And maybe they saw all that Paul had been through as a sign that he's achieved little and failed often in his ministry and had little wisdom to end up in situations that he had done. And therefore, how can he be called an apostle or even be among the super apostles if all this is happening to him on such a regular basis? Surely it wouldn't be God's will for him to suffer all that he has done in the name of Christ. And what we see in the passage we've just read is a man who actually is willing to humble himself, show his weaknesses, and be, as he puts it, like a fool. And he starts to play the accusers at their own game. And so he starts to boast about his credentials. And he says, if I must boast, then this is how I'm going to boast. Hebrews, Israelites, descendants of Abraham, servants of Christ, so am I. I'm qualified for ministry. I'm a member of the covenant community through circumcision. And I'm of the right ethnic background. If you want me to tick those boxes, I can tick every single one of them. I am a fully paid up member. I'm just as qualified as you are. I have all the credentials. And then he starts to list his qualifications. And I want you to think for a moment, if you read or received as an application for a job in your company or your business or even within this church, the things that he starts to list, would you even consider this person for a role in your organization or your church? Because he starts to say, I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. What? And these are supposed to be qualifications. And he goes, in fact, from my own people, I've received 5 times 40 lashes minus one. So even his own people are turning against him. Because, I mean, and just to look at the issue of the 40 lashes, 40 lashes was the prescribed method of interrogation by the Jews. And the whip they would use had multiple strands of leather into which were embedded pieces of bone or pieces of metal. And these would dig into the skin when they whipped someone and rip off chunks of flesh when they came back. Now, depending on how the interrogation was going and whether the person was pleading for mercy or starting to give them the information they wanted, they would actually lessen the strength of the blow each time they did it. And the reason it's called 40 lashes minus one is because they reduced it by one to show that they were actually as Jews being merciful. an interesting theory. And so the idea was that if, while being whipped, the prisoner confessed to the crimes he'd committed, the soldier would then lessen the force of each blow. And Paul endured 5 of these interrogations. And on 3 other occasions, he was beaten with wooden rods. And once he was stoned. And stoning was used by the Jewish, was a Jewish method of execution. So he's even saying, my own people, my own nation have even at one point tried to execute me. But I'm using this as a qualification for who I am in my ministry. So physically, Paul is a broken and severely scarred man who has constantly faced danger and even death on numerous occasions. So to look at, Paul would have been not a very attractive ambassador of the Christian faith. Scars all over his body, deep wounds that maybe probably haven't healed properly. And the sight of his broken body alone wouldn't be the best marketing campaign to encourage people to become Christians. But it speaks of someone who was not only willing to endure hardship for the gospel, but also face death itself and persevere through every trial and hardship and be able to speak in a way that is an encouragement to us all, whatever we face. Because Paul also writes in Romans 5, verses 2 to 4, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Just to, if you go on to read within the chapter, and there's a couple of verses that come after where we finish at verse 30, and Paul mentions another thing about his weakness, and it's interesting because what he's trying to do is the Roman culture is such that they speak often about their achievements, about the principalities and stuff that they've ruled over, about amazing things that they've done in their province, and about the status and the symbols they've acquired. And so what Paul's now trying to do is trying to show them that in comparison, he's nothing like that. That it's not about earthly power and authority, but it's about the power and the authority of Christ in and through us that we should be glorifying. And when I was reading through this, he mentions about being lowered down over the wall in the city of Damascus because King Arimathaeus was trying to capture him and put a siege around the city. And late at night, Paul gets lowered down over the wall. Now, as I was looking into this, there's apparently in Roman times, there was an award given to soldiers who laid siege to cities. And this was called a corona muralis. It was called the crown of the wall. And it was given to the first soldier who made it over the siege wall or up the tower or up the ladder and got over the wall. The first soldier to get over the wall into the city received this award. Now, the only problem was the award was often given after the said soldier had either had burning tar or been shot with an arrow or, you know, thrown back over the wall. But he was given the award and it was put on the wall of their own city or on a memorial to all the soldiers posthumously, you know, after his death to show of the great achievement that this soldier had made. And in some way, Paul is now saying, well, you know, I was the first one over the wall, but I was going the other way. I was the first one out of the city, not into the city, to show that again, It's not about achieving greatness in the eyes of the world, but about achieving greatness in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Jesus Christ. So why should we keep persevering? Why continue to stand against the strong currents of temptation, fear, anger, loss, stress, impossibilities that we face, misunderstandings between others and others, mistakes that we make? Why should we persevere to overcome our inferiority? Why should we keep persevering and praying for someone for healing when we don't see God at work? Why should we keep persevering in prayer for someone who just doesn't seem to be coming any closer to the Lord despite all the years we've been praying for them? Why should we keep persevering and waiting for an answer? Because some days we do well to survive through the day and to get to the end of the day, to say nothing of excelling in some days. Life is a task, and at times can be an almost unbearable one. Therefore, perseverance becomes essential to living, the key that unlocks the door of hope. Because as we read, through perseverance, our character is built. Strong and solid character that is forged, shaped, tempered, polished, and true. Because it is there that the life of Jesus Christ is given the maximum opportunity to be reproduced in us as we grow and as we learn to rely less on our own understanding and acknowledging that however hard it gets, Jesus is still Lord, God is still good, the victory is still ours through the death and the resurrection of Christ. But life can still be tough. Paul writes earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." We, like Paul, can boast, not in our own achievements, merits, or credentials, but as Paul writes, "I will boast of the things that show my weakness, because in my weakness is his strength." And as I've already said, all these things are things that any normal person in the Roman world, or even today, would be too ashamed to mention, let alone celebrate, unless they were appearing on something like the Jeremy Kyle show, or something similar. And thankfully, they didn't have Jeremy Kyle in Roman times. But these things are boasted about by Paul to point towards the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in his life. In our weakness and our sufferings, and through our perseverance, there is more room for the work and the hope of Jesus Christ as Lord, who himself came as a suffering servant and was even willing to die on the cross for each and every one of us. But what it doesn't mean is that because we're Christians, all our problems are solved. You know, actually, in some instances, by being a Christian, our problems may actually increase. I remember when I was growing up and I started coming to this church, I'd started working for NatWest Bank, and you know, I became a Christian while I was working there. And you know, I actually thought that all the problems I was facing at work and everything else would suddenly disappear. Well, they didn't. If anything, they got worse, because I actually, to my close working colleagues, I actually explained to them that I'd now become a Christian, and they looked at me as if I'd suddenly grown two heads. But time and again, the conversation would always come back to questions about why did I go to church on a Sunday? Why had I stopped drinking when before I was always out on a Friday lunchtime drinking with the rest of them? Why was I now not swearing anymore? Why was I now being somebody different that they didn't understand who I was or why I was? And constantly these questions, you know, the job was bad enough on its own without all these constant questions. But there came one day where I actually was sat there trying to get on with the job of processing 1,000 checks an hour, which is one of the jobs that I had to do. And one of my colleagues, we got talking about Thornton's chocolates, of all things. You talk about food when you're doing a mundane task. And suddenly, one of the girls in the office quite spitefully said, "Well, you as a Christian, you can't eat the rum truffle ones." And I'm like, "You what?" And then she suddenly started going, "And you don't believe in dinosaurs either." And just started this barrage of accusations and stuff at me. And I'm sat there going, what the heck do I do here? When suddenly one of the other girls in the office just went, "You can shut up right now. Ian is a great guy and one of the best guys we've got working in here. And what he does in his church, I think is great. So shut up right now and just get on with your job." And I'm just sitting there going, I have no idea what's going on here. But there were times when it was really tough. But I believe that God was with me every step of the way. And so, I can't remember where I am now. Also, it doesn't mean that every problem we face is addressed in the Bible. There'll be times where we don't find an exact answer, and it's in those times we've got to walk by faith. We've got to walk by faith, trusting in the Lord to show us the next step. We won't always find the exact answer we want through God's word, but we've got to trust in his word, trust in God, that in those situations where we can't find an answer or a solution, that God is still at work. It also doesn't mean that if you're experiencing problems that you're unspiritual or far away from God. What it shows is that you're human. Just look at Job and his suffering and the problems, but also at his close relationship to God. Job was a man who had a very close relationship to God, and yet bad things still happened to him, because the devil was trying to prove a point. But as we see that Job, even though he faced so many hardships, was still in the hardest of times, still walking closely with God. I remember when I worked for Youth for Christ a few years ago, hearing the story of a man who had supported Youth for Christ for most of his life, and had two sons of his own who had turned their back on God. And every day, morning, noon and night, for many years, the man prayed for his sons and also for the work of Youth for Christ. He sadly passed away, having not seen either of his sons becoming Christians. At his funeral, having heard of how much he had done for other young people and the stories of people's lives that had been touched by his support of the Youth of Christ ministry, and of his outstanding character and his faith in God, both sons gave their lives to Christ. That man had persevered in the hope that one day his sons would come to faith, but that it wasn't about him and about how and his ability as a father, but was a work that belonged to God. As we persevere, it's to show the world that we do not put our trust in our own merits, our own strength, our own possessions, or our own power or credentials, but that we have all we need in and through Christ to face up to and get through the challenges and the trials of life, to show that we are being shaped by Christ, so that we come to a place where we're willing to face whatever comes, that we have the determination to stand firm, whatever life may throw at us, and have insight to see the Lord's hand in it all, so that one day we become more than conquerors, and that God is glorified. And that was Paul's desire, is that in all things, God would be glorified. As we come to a close, I want us to look again at Romans 5, verses 2 to 4, but in a slightly different way that makes it more personal. As we read it, or as you see it on the screen, instead of using we, I'd like you to think of placing in there I. And instead of using the general words for suffering and sufferings and suffering, place in there something that you are having to ask God to help you persevere with, something that you are facing now. And I boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but I also glory in my sufferings, because I know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Let's pray.